Please turn your Bibles, the Holy Bible, in the Old Testament. As I continue to preach in your hearing in the series, How to Hope, Lessons from the Israelites and Their Messianic Expectation, Part 12. Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And if you have a sanctified imagination, you can, this scene is in your mind right now. It's a black, bluish sky. Stars very clear during that time, and a clear night, a beautiful night. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. It must have been a safe, quiet, peaceful area. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And so many thoughts are going through my mind as I read this. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. It is amazing how God impresses upon the hearts of certain people the importance of a moment. I don't know how he does that, but he does, and we mark those places in life, and they are sketched in our minds. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Holy Father God, as the song we sung earlier says, we're living in perilous times, strange times, times of the great falling away, and so many Christians are being confused and being deceived and bamboozled, and are therefore falling away as well. And so, Holy Father God, we still pray because we look up to you. And we praise you and we thank you that you have your remnant, and you always have your remnant. You will always have your faithful few. You will always have your 7,000. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for those who are slip-sliding away. And Lord, we individually and collectively confess our own sins, lest we fall away. Lord, of disobedience, pride, pharisaic pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, bad attitudes, bad spirits, hatred, bitterness, resentment, lies, dishonesty, deceit, all unrighteousness of thought, word, and deed, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as Christians, true believers. Empty us of ourselves. Crucify our flesh. Fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Restore us again, renew us again, and revive us again. Help us to pray in these perilous times. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways. Help us to humble ourselves. We realize that we have no power and might without you, and so, Lord, do we, as we are reminded of your ancient and holy word in the Old Testament, it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So, Lord, once again, we come before your throne of grace, seeking your might, seeking your power, seeking your liberty. Grant me fresh anointing, grant all of us fresh anointing, unction, the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word, but not only to preach it, to hear it. And we know that from your holy word, Lord, that when we preach your holy word, when it goes out all over the world, it will never come back void. It will never come back empty. And we also know that, Lord, as we labor for you, we should not get weary in well-doing, as so many are, but to keep on serving you in the way that we should. And you have told us that our labor is not in vain while we are serving you. So, Lord, help us, no matter how we may feel, no matter what people in the world are doing, Lord, help us to always serve you and abound in the work of the Lord. And in the end, Lord, we still pray for over 3 million souls to come to know you as Savior through this ministry alone, and millions more to be saved through other ministries. We pray for over 3 million Christians to be revived across this nation and around the globe through this ministry alone, and millions more through other ministries. And Holy Father God, you know all about our needs here, and how we desire to support others as well. And so, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue to work divine miracles and meet all of the needs that we have here, that the ministry may continue on and lost souls will be saved and Christians revived and other ministries helped. And we do pray still for the $3 million to come in for the chapel and prayer tower as well as the mission outreach to indigenous pastors and evangelists around the world who have sent the Macedonian call big time. We thank you in advance for what you will do, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor in advance for what you will do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. How to hope. How to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation, part 12. And Dr. Rick Warren said, you have to make Jesus the manager of your life. Every morning when you wake up, you have a decision to make. And those of us who are saved, those of us who are born again, we all know this to be true. Who's going to be in charge of your life? Who's going to be in control? You or God? Who's going to call the shots, if you will? You or God? Every day, moment by moment, you are making that decision. And this is so true and so important. When you choose to make yourself the manager of your own life, it causes conflict. It causes confusion. It causes stress and issues. Let God be God and make Jesus the manager of your life. End of quote. Paul said it another way. We need to die daily. And that is a decision that we all have to make on a daily basis. The name. Part of that dying is making sure you have prayer and Bible reading, what many call devotions, in the morning. Family devotions is a, if you will, a dying mechanism. It has a way of helping you to die to self, to managing your own life, controlling things yourself, trying to, and letting God do it. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we continue looking at the experience of Jacob and the ladder from heaven that foreshadowed God, Jesus, coming down to be with his people through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob, after awakening from his dream, says to himself, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. We began looking at Jacob's reaction to the Lord's presence, as there are three specific ways in which we ought to follow Jacob's example as we wait for the Lord's second coming. First, dear friends, we saw that Jacob made a place for God. We talked about this last week. And we ought to make place for God as well. We need to make that decision in our lives. And so many people haven't. And so many sincere Christians struggle with it. But this is a decision that has to be made, and it has to be made daily and hourly. Make room for God. Jacob set up a pillar and named the place Bethel, meaning house of God. Our place for God is not physical necessarily, but spiritual. God lives within us through the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. However, through sin and disobedience, we grieve the Spirit. We quench the Spirit. And in a sense, we push God out of our lives. The fellowship is broken. And this is why so many Christians today do not have any joy, perpetual joy. So many Christians today do not have any peace, because God is not the centerpiece. There's no room for God in their lives. They have room for everything else and everybody else but God. These are they who are always roaming. They're always looking for the next big thing to do. These are they who even stay active in church, because they don't have any real room for God in their lives at home. These are they who must stay busy, because they have no peace with God. They have no joy in their souls. They always feel like they're missing out, because they're empty. They're not filled with God. They're oftentimes sad and defeated and disgusted, depressed, constantly trying to ease the pain through drugs and alcohol and illicit sex, or whatever they can find, whatever they can get their hands on. Therefore, making a place for God is being deliberate about letting Him reign in our lives, in our hearts. We do this by choice. We do this on purpose. Jacob could have rejected the Lord's presence in his life. He could have left that place, determined never to see it again. But he chose to let God in and let God have a role in his life. Have you done that yet? Not just a role, but the role. To sit on the throne of his heart and life. And that is what we must do every day as we await the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, Jacob made a commitment to God. In verses 20 and 21, we read, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, if God will take care of me so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. God had already promised Jacob that by virtue of his covenant with Abraham, he would not only be with him and keep him safe, but he would make of him a great nation and make no mistake about it. I don't care who you think you are. I thank God for America and the benefits of being born in America, with all of our sins and all of our faults, And outside, and this is something I always say, outside of the nation of Israel, the greatest nation ever formed is America. But Israel comes first. Always. Jacob's commitment is one of gratitude for what the Lord has already said he would do for him. Kenneth Matthew writes, Jacob is the only patriarch who makes a formal vow to God. Jacob was asking no more than the fulfillment of God's self-imposed obligations delivered in the dream sequence. As for the gifts of food and clothes, these provisions are typical needs of a roaming alien and are Israel's needs during its lengthy wilderness sojourn. That Jacob's promise is emphatically expressed reveals his eagerness for the Lord's favor and the Lord's blessing. Like Jacob, we ought to make a commitment to God. Have you done that yet? Have you made a commitment to God? Have you made up your mind that for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Have you made up your mind that you're going to stick with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father and God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Life gets a little bit easier when you make up your mind in that way. Like Jacob, we ought to make a commitment to God as an expression of gratitude for what he has already done and what he has promised to do. Making a commitment to live for God now will guide us to do the right thing down the road, particularly when we hit snags in the road, when we go through periods of tribulation and trouble and difficulty. God gave me a prayer that I've shared with many other people. It goes something like this: God, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us for weddings and funerals. Prepare us for life and death. In this world, Jesus Christ told us that we will have tribulations and troubles. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Right there, Jesus wants us to make a commitment to him, so that when troubles come, and they will, when tribulations come, and they will, when trials come, and they will, when testings come, and they will, our mind is already made up. Somebody said a long time ago that you don't need to wait till the temptation comes to make a decision. You need to make your decision before the temptation comes. And they're right about it. Many people choose a wait-and-see faith, which is very dangerous. You have folk like that in your family. You have folk like that in your church. They really don't have faith in God. They're open for what the devil wants them to do. They don't take precautions. They don't pray the kind of prayer that I just prayed. They're not ready. They're not committed to God. And they're open for failure. And they're open for sin. They take a wait and see policy of life. They wait and see what's ahead before they decide what they will do. This is not faith. This is foolishness. Jacob's commitment did not determine... Cut that. If that thing is down there, cut that thing off. Jacob's commitment did not determine that everything in his future would be smooth sailing. He met with great disappointment and distress in his family into his old age. But his commitment determined his response to his circumstances. And making a commitment now, a commitment to love God, obey God, trust God, will help determine our response in good times and in bad times as we await the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Ralph Hudson said so long ago. My life, my love, I give to thee, thou Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I now believe thou doest receive, for thou hast died that I might live. And now henceforth I trust in thee, my Savior and my God. O thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to thee, my Savior and my God. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for teaching us how to hope. And thank you for giving us the blessed hope. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will help us, like Jacob, to make a commitment. Help us, like Jacob, Lord, to make place for you, to put you first, to deny ourselves and to follow you. And help us to make up our mind to do that right now, no matter what. No matter how dry life may seem, no matter how difficult, no matter how strange life may seem. Lord, have mercy and grace, Lord, upon us all, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins where we have not done what we need to do. And Lord, help us to make room for you to sit on the throne of our lives, and help us, Lord, to make a commitment to you to do what we should do no matter what happens in our lives in the future, now or at any other time. And we pray that you would continue to break us, make us, and mold us, and help us to die to self each and every day and manifest your power through our lives and glorify your holy name until the very end. And help us, Lord God in heaven, to be faithful until the end, until you come back. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in him today, because he is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. Here is how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And here are some people who will be going to hell based upon the sins they commit and they don't repent of and they don't trust Christ as Savior. You might be in this number. For the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now that is bad news. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. No matter what you have done, if you have trusted, if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can avoid going to hell for eternity and go to heaven for eternity to be with God and Jesus and with the angels and the saints. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And saved also to a better life and a better you, even though it will not be easy. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Tonight is your night. Pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Follow me in prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments, for I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've lusted after people and things before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored, disrespected, and disobeyed my parents and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe now with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from all of my evil ways. And to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.